Welcome to the Perpetual Notion Machine for the 2026. So I'm your mad scientist host, Wally. And with me again, for the third time, is my fellow mad scientist, Jason Neaton.
Thanks for having me, Wally.
And he goes with his code name, Bubble Lizard. We're doing our long-term scientific beer flight. We have a wild topic as far as beer. Like, what is beer? That's what I ask. Think about that, Wisconsin. Is it just hop tea? We are also joined with his daughter, Alice, which is a.k.a. Scholar Lizard.
Hi, guys.
And she is here. She is a proud badger and doing journalism. So a reminder, if you're tuning in again from the distant past, Bubble Lizard is a master brewer, home brewer, homie brewer, microbiologist. I worked at Goose Island before the Great Divide and ran Three Floyds, which is one of my favorite and most kind of grim dark of all the beer companies around here for a minute. Knowledgeable on why beer is good for you. And in this example, how you can make non-alcoholic beer that tastes kind of like beer or is good. This was a question from a previous episode that I asked, mm-hmm. which was why we're going to say NA beer. That's non-alcoholic for all you following along at home. Why is it so bad? But it's getting much better. I mean, it used to be really bad, and I'm an avid beer drinker. So, you know, I'd rather have like a Dr. Pepper than like some of the old NA beers.
Yeah.
But that's not true anymore. So what's going on?
Well, you know, there's been a lot of call for it, you know, whether it's changing, you know, kind of trends in the industry and people and what they want. But, you know, whether you're, you know, designated driver, but you just really like to drink beer, or you're just at the end of the evening and you probably don't need that additional IPA, mm-hmm. You know, this is a good alternative. And in the past, they were pretty bad. I mean, not many people made them. Only the big guys made them.
They were just malty. Like it didn't taste like beer or anything you would want to drink at all. It was like a malt bomb.
Yeah, it has to go through a lot of processing. You know, the old guys, the big breweries will make non-alcoholic beer in very chemical and processed ways where they're using filters to either strip out the beer. There's like, you can use reverse osmosis approach. You can also do vacuum distillation. Mm. Which is, you know, basically like doing
it sucks.
Yeah, you're distilling your beer, which is not something you want to do. They do it under vacuum, so it's a little bit lower temperature, so it doesn't destroy all the flavor. But again, it's very, very technologically heavy. There's a lot of overhead. So, you know, the way that a lot of these brewers are approaching non-alcoholic beers now is just to really control the fermentation.
Okay.
You know, you're using specialized yeast that don't ferment as many sugars. That's one of the things that you're trying to really control how much sugar gets fermented. You know, mm-hmm. the fermentation is basically the yeast eating sugar and turning it into alcohol and CO2. So if you limit that, you can control how much alcohol you get in your beer. Mm-hmm. So you do things like mash your mash very high, so you're creating less fermentable sugar.
That's a monster mash.
The monster mash, exactly. If this is the Halloween edition, perhaps we would we could get some music going on that. But
I guess it's St. Patrick's Day.
You know, monsters are they're always, I guess, welcome.
They love a non-alcoholic beer, right? The Irish.
Yeah, you know, I come from that long brewing background, but my friend Jim Seaback is the head brewer and brewmaster at Revolution Brewing, and he's been working on his pilot system making non-alcoholic beer, mostly for the pub. They don't do like a big canning release of it, although they may at some point once he dials in the formula. Mm-hmm. But it's nice because he can still use the traditional malts that he wants to make it, you know, the malt character of the beer, the hop character of the mm-hmm. beer. You're still doing basically all the process of a beer. You even do the boil, where, you know, the boil is important because it's killing off all the bacteria that may be in the beer right at that point. Sure. But it also does things like get hop into it, some bitterness. Mm. So again, you're just really doing controlling the sugar so that you have less alcohol in there. And so a normal fermentation will take about four days. Mm. This one goes in about 24 hours to 48 hours.
Okay.
It's a slow bubbling. There's not as much going on. You don't oxygenate the wort, so you're not creating a big army of yeast.
Mm.
You're kind of just controlling it a lot on every front. And then at the end, you may have to do a dilution because you want to get the target of below 0.5% alcohol.
Okay.
So that's your goal. And again,
what do they call it? Those people that cannot process alcohol at all. So, you know, the Guinness, you see like a 0.0, you see like other kind of like macro brands that say like there is not a drop. Phenylalanine, I'm getting it
yes,
wrong.
Yes, it's a rare
but that's
condition.
Important because some people just cannot at all digest any amount of alcohol without it leaving their body through, you know, not the enzyme process, but through their kidneys, basically.
I've heard that too about different like ethnic groups, you know, just not having as much of the processing power, you know, to like to deal with alcohol. So, but it's actually, there's another topic on your list of a hop water, which is another non-alcoholic option.
But so what makes a beer a beer? And I mean, what are we even talking? Those don't necessarily, root beer doesn't necessarily have alcohol in it. So where's the overlap?
Yeah, that's an interesting question about the etymology of the word beer, you know. But I mean, it's a brewing process. So, you know, like when you'd make root beer, sarsaparilla or things like that, you'd have to take an extract from a root, you know, you'd have to blend it with the water, boil it, you know, it's like, you know, making a tea is similar, you know, you're. So, you know, I was talking to Alice on the way over, giving her a primer on how a beer is created. And, you know, so you're really just taking, you know, a grain or any sort of a substrate, and you're making sugar from it, you know, using enzymes that are natural in the process to cut those starches into sugars. And then the yeast ferment them into alcohol and the CO2. So, you know, with the non-alcoholic stuff I was just talking about, you're limiting how much sugar you're putting in there so that you can control that fermentation. But, you know, there's the whole art of brewing has been around for a long time. We talked about that on a previous show.
Yeah, like the Egyptians. Yeah. And really, it led to bread to some extent or back and forth.
Well, yeah. I mean, the funny thing is, like, you know, alcohol can't be manufactured. It's manufactured by yeast. So, you know, when I was talking about distilling, you know, to take the alcohol out, it's how you make things like, you know, whiskey or gin. You know, the distiller's art is basically making a beer or a wine, and you're pulling the alcohol out of it into a concentrated form. But there's all different kinds of, you know, ways to do that. You know, like with, I remember somebody bought me a bottle of Armagnac once, and I said, what is this?
What is, I don't know what that is either.
Well, you've heard of cognac, and there's, but Armagnac, what I found out is that Armagnac is the pure first distillate of wine.
Oh.
Whereas cognac is a multiple process, multiple distillates. So, you know, it's just a different way of doing it. And, you know, again, there's so many different kinds of spirits that you can derive from it, from brewing different things. Like, you know, whiskey comes from a sour mash, or bourbon will come from a sour mash. Sometimes it involves corn. Sometimes it's just grain. So there's a panoply of different, you know, materials that you can use to extract sugars from and then ferment, you know, something that will make you feel happy.
Or maybe not like an alcoholic if you want a non-alcoholic beer.
Yes, or if you want a non-alcoholic
you want to cool it down.
Well,
so how would you get to, so if you can dilute it so you can make something really strong and just add water? That's the old joke that I can't say, but how's drinking beer like having sex in a canoe? I'll tell you later.
Is that safe for radio?
It's as far as we can
not
go.
Not safe for radio. Yeah, no. So, you know, like I said, it's the non-alcoholic beers in the past were pretty, you know, pretty pedestrian. But now, now there's a company called Athletic Brewing. Sierra Nevada is making, you know, hoppy non-alcoholic beers.
Good.
And they're really quite good. So, like, when I've talked with my buddy Jim about it, you know, he was taking me through it and he said he likes to do it this way because it's almost like brewing a regular beer. You get to add your hops and you get to extract the hops. You could dry hop a beer like this. But, you know, often he will find, and he has to do a lot of testing because to be a non-alcoholic, you have to be under that amount. So they'll do testing of the alcohol level and then they will dilute to make sure it is under that 0.05 or 0.5%. And again, if you're doing something that's got to be 0.0, and then, you know, your process has to be more stringent.
Right. You have to do more of a reverse extraction or find ways
exactly.
to pull it out.
Then you're really using the other stuff.
Interesting. And so I've heard of near beer. And like, what about kombucha? Like, what's the normal alcoholic content of like a commercial kombucha?
Well,
also 0.5?
I think it depends, you know, because there's non-alcoholic kombucha, but then there's like hard kombuchas. Yeah, I have a friend at Pilot Project in Milwaukee, and that's one of the things they've been making is hard kombucha, okay, canning it, you know. So, you know, I think those tend to be in the, you know, 3.5% range, you know, stuff like a weaker beer. You know, beer's usually in the range around 4.5 for like a normal. Then you go up to IPAs, which are 7, 6, 7, and then, you know, like New Glarus actually came out with a Scotch ale. A wee heavy, which I just absolutely love that name. Mm-hmm. And it's a great malt bomb of a beer, but it's, you know, it's 9.5%. So it's something you got to, you know, be careful a little bit with.
You got to add some water. Yeah, you can kind of stretch it out. You can mix it, make a porter out of it. Which is always fun, you know.
Porters were, it's funny, porters used to be called three threads. Ah. And it was because they would blend it. They would take all the beer and they blend it. It was a dark beer and they serve it to porters, you know, who carry the bags on the docks.
They port the things.
Yeah, they would port your luggage around.
But, port, you know, one, port
they
two.
They get thirsty doing that.
And so it's funny because we're talking about NA beers, but me and your dad, we just want to talk about actual beer. That's where we're right. What's your
it's
favorite
funny how
alcoholic
it keeps
beer?
Going back.
Let me think about that.
Okay. Well, while she thinks about that, we're going to cut to a song and we're going to tease you with. Welcome back. That's Beer from Real Big Fish, and you are listening to the Perpetual Notion Machine. I am your mad scientist correspondent on this Thursday in February, Madison, Wisconsin. I'm in conversation with Jason Neaton and his daughter Alice, and we're talking about what makes a non-alcoholic beer non-alcoholic and maybe tasty at this modern time. So welcome back, and thanks again for the wonderful tips of things you can find online. But we teased him in about hop water. So I shout out to my sister, who code name pending, not been on the show yet. But she when she was pregnant, she was like, "Have you tried these? They're really good." Because I really want to drink beer, but I can't. So I'm drinking this. But how do they do that? It's very clear. It's like a seltzer almost.
Yeah, it really is. There's so many ways too, because, you know, one of the things about adding hops in beer is they're messy, you know, especially whole leaf hops. In fact, you'll see sometimes, you know, fresh hop ales, but most brewers do not use, you know, whole hops just because you create a whole lot of vegetable material you got to deal with. You got to filter it out, centrifuge it. So hops usually come in pelletized versions, which keeps them fresh. They get cryo frozen. There's all kinds of different hop processing. Mm-hmm. Like, in fact, a lot of people now will like try and make those pellets, but do it under like super cold conditions so that there's no heat whatsoever to affect those volatiles. And I mean, and they're doing amazing work right now looking at all the different aromas and flavors that come out of hops. What kind of gas chromatograph analysis of like those the terpenes and different types of chemical, you know, what is it contributing? Lemon flavors, pine flavors, mango, you know, a lot of these hops are very tropical these days. So the hop analysis has become amazing. But the point I was going to make is for the hop water, you can add hop extract. You can, I mean, boiling hops in water just to like make hop water is probably, you know, an inefficient way, and it's just too much. So
though also tasty. You can just get fresh hops and make tea out of it, it's delicious.
Oh yeah, absolutely. And I've got some in my freezer from that I grew at home.
Very citrus. You know? Yeah, you have pillars and pillars.
Oh yeah, they're the Three Floyds hops. Well, actually, they're it's funny. I call them the Dick Van Dyke hops because that was the name of our salesperson at Floyd's. Dick Van Dyke. I kid you not. So he gave me those hop plants, and then I brought them up here to New Glarus, and they're growing in my backyard. But hops are a lot of fun, and like you said, it's a refreshing alternative to, you know, to beer.
Mm-hmm.
Often at the Great Taste of the Midwest, you know, just to put in a plug for our wonderful, you know, Madison.
It is amazing.
You know, we get 10,000 people.
It's beer nirvana. It's beer vana.
I'm wearing my Madison Homebrewers Tasting Guild shirt.
I'll be volunteering again next year. It was a blast.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. But it's great because, like, they'll bring up hop water and just have it available for free, actually. So, you know, you're trying some of these, you know, barrel aged beers that are 10% alcohol. Sometimes it's nice to have something, you know, to wash it down and to refresh yourself with. So hop water has become very popular. You know, I bristle a little bit at the prices because, you know, you'll pay, you know, $20 for a case of
it. So because there's like liquor tax, but they charge you the same, but they don't have to pay the tax. I don't really know how it works.
It's interesting, you know. I mean, again, what I was gonna say with the beer culture is that, you know, things come and go. I think beer's always going to be here, you know, but there was a huge boom with the craft industry and like saying, hey, beer could be more than just like a Budweiser or a Miller. And so people got excited about it. I think you still got some really hardcore people out there. But for instance, Revolution closed their pub last year. And I was really sad about this because it was, you know, in business for 15 years, great restaurant. I talked to Josh, the owner, about it, and he said that, you know, there was a lot of factors that came into that, but, you know, restaurant-wise. But he said beer culture is a little bit down right now. People are really into cocktail culture. So they go and they have these, you know, special cocktails with, like, you know, burnt rosemary twigs put in them and all kinds of other stuff. And so maybe that's just the latest thing. But I think, again, some of these other products, you know, try to bridge the gap. Revolution's also doing THC beverages now, you know, so that's a whole other thing too, where, you know, and theirs are really good. They do fresh fruit juice, and they, you know, they make them kind of different and whatnot. But again, hop water is out there. It's I'm hoping the prices will come down a little bit on it.
More competition.
More competition.
All of our local spots. And yeah, it's one of those things that really does hit the spot when you think you want a beer and you're like, wait, I don't want any alcohol, but I do want that crisp, hoppy flavor. So back to our final blast here. So say you're cooking with beer. When you cook with beer, you already remove the alcohol, right?
Well, yeah, it does. It boils off.
Yeah.
You know? Like I used some to make ribs the other day. I used a can of Spotted Cow, you know, which I do like Spotted Cow, but, you know, I sometimes will find myself with leftover stuff and go, okay, this is my cooking beer.
You can stick it in a chicken. I've never tried that. That's a thing for a reason, I'm sure.
That was a thing for a while, isn't it?
It's a cool, I don't know. I got a chicken at home. We'll have to give it a try one of these nights.
Yeah, cooking with beer is great. You know, I mean, I've done many beer dinners where every course has been made with, you know, different beers. When I was at Goose Island, we used to do lots of those, you know, so it's a blast. And yeah, so when you put beer in food like that and you cook it, you know, don't worry, you know, nobody's gonna get you know, alcohol from that because it's gonna boil off. But you know, again, it's all chemistry, right? It's all science.
And I found that sometimes if I say I'm trying out a new light beer or maybe even an NA beer, and I don't like it, I could still cook with it and not pour it down the drain because that would be not very Wisconsinable of me. No. And you can actually make like a shrub or interesting things. You can find these different flavors in the sweetness. mm-hmm. of it's in there. And yeah, it's a growing trend. And we all know that beer is good, but NA beer is getting better every year. So give it a try and support your local breweries.
Yeah. You know, again, you're going to find it at craft breweries, you know, because again, it's becoming more accessible. And in the process is, like I said, it doesn't take all that technology like the big guys used to use. And so, you know, you just kind of, like I said, control the sugar, make sure that you make as little alcohol as possible. And then you've got something that's like still really delicious. Like I said, that great hop character, mm-hmm. malt character, and but you know, without all the alcohol.
Well, this is making me thirsty, Jason.
Yeah, how about it,
Alice? So, thank you so much. Always goes really, really fast. I've been joined in the studio by the Lizard Family, Jason and Alice, Neaton, aka Bubble Lizard, and Scholar Lizard. Though you're welcome back once you find your mad scientist niche. We'll have you back on for your own show for sure.
Thank you so much for having me.
Oh, you're very welcome, and thanks for helping get the word out there about what we're doing and adding your voice to the air. And thank you very much. So I've been your mad scientist host, Wally, and you've been listening to the Perpetual Notion Machine, our sometimes sobering yet effervescent collective science news show.